Well, good morning, 24 Church. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Let me ask you a question. Is that okay? Can I ask you a question? Okay, I'll leave. Can I ask you a question? All right, I've been a youth minister, came from youth ministry. I have to have participation. I teach Socratically, which means, you know, you already know the answer. I just try to get it out of you, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question, and it is, you don't have to answer. This is rhetorical. But what do you have time for? Do you have time? Do you have time for anything? Oh. What do you have money for? What do you spend money on? Time and money. We have to think about that every single day, don't we? Time management, finances. We don't necessarily want to think about those things, but we do. And we have to. It's part of life. But what do we have time for? We say, oh, I don't have any time. I say that all the time. I don't have time for that. I don't. What do you do in a day? What do you have to do? Especially parents. Especially the kids in middle school, high school, that area. Yo, you got to take them to soccer practice, and you got to take so-and-so to basketball practice, and then you got to take, the shirts to the cleaners, and then you got to go and get dinner ready. And then you've got to go and get someone to tow the car because you ran out of gas because you didn't have time to pay attention to the meter in the car that said you're running low on gas. So you ran out. And you've got to do all these things, and the day just gets packed full of so much stuff. And then at the end of the day, you look and you say, I don't have any money either. Where did all that money go? Oh, yeah. I had to give, $20 to so-and-so at soccer practice because they had to get dinner at so-and-so's house. And then I had to give $10 here and $100 there. And then the bills are piling up. And every day we pay attention to what we have time for and what we have money for. Do you have time for God? Do you have money for God? That's another thing we hear a lot, especially in churches, that we don't really want to hear. We don't want to hear, give your time to God. We don't want to hear, give your money to God, especially because we don't have either one. We don't have time for God. We don't have time, we don't have money for God. A lot of us don't. Well, we tell ourselves we don't. But some of us do. I wish I was wise enough. I wish I was patient enough to sit down, at the beginning of the year, this time, and to write down how much I wanted to give to God, and put that out. I want to give this much here and this much here. I want to serve here. I want to give this time to the church here, and I want to make sure the kids go to this camp, and I want to give this money to this mission trip, and I want to tithe this much, and I'm going to make sure that I budget all this amount. I like to be organized, and I wish I was that organized. But you know what? I don't do that. I don't. I wait to see what the check comes, and I tithe off of that, and then I wait throughout the year to see how much money I'm going to give to certain things. Because every day your kid comes home, and you know what? They're selling something else for a booster club. Oh, buy this chocolate bar, or buy this t-shirt, or then their friends come over. Or maybe you don't have kids, and you come to church, and you know what? There's kids at church, and they're coming up to you with things, and they're saying, hey, look, buy this candy bar, or buy this, popcorn that'll probably be stale by the time it gets to you, but you buy it anyway, or some ice cream or cookie dough that doesn't taste very well, but you buy it anyway, because it's for some good cause. That's money. About time. You know what? Why do we have time for church? Why? I've got to go to church. I got to go to church today because I haven't been in like a month and I feel guilty. Well, you might. But some people go to church just because they feel guilty about it. It's because they feel bad. I've got to go to church because when I go to church, I feel like I've accomplished something. You might get something out of it. You might. You might like church. But that's your time to God. A lot of people, most of the people in today say, if I go to church, that's my time for God. As long as I go to church, you know, on Sundays especially, you know, is if I get there, that's my time for God. And you feel like you've accomplished that, you can go home with your head high and you say, yes, I've been to church. And other people are like, I've got to go to church because so-and-so is going to be there, and I don't want them to see me not there. Because they're going to ask me, why weren't you at church? And I don't want to have to go through that charade, and I don't want to have to lie to them like I did 2 weeks ago about why I wasn't at church, and I went to the Holy Comforter Church in my bed. I don't want to have to lie to them, so man, I got to go to church because I feel guilty about, you know, them getting on to me. So many reasons why we go to church. And people think that church is the only way you can serve God. If you look in your worship guide, there's a little excerpt about today, about what we're talking about today. And people think, I can only serve God in church. I have to give something to God. Everyone's told that. Everybody thinks they've got to go to church. They have to go to church. And you know what? It's an amazing thing. Christians, we are commanded to go to church. We've already explained this. It's a fellowship of believers. It is a privilege to be able to see one another, be able to hold each other accountable. It's an amazing thing. But you know what? This message is not to make you feel guilty about going to church or the reasons why you go to church. That's not what this message is about. This message is not to say you need to give more to the church. You need to empty out your pocketbook. That's not what this message is about either. Today, this message, we're going to be looking at a church. The Church of Laodicea. And if you want to, we're not going to hit there right now, but it's in Revelations 3. Revelation 3. And if you want to get your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. The Holy Scriptures are an amazing thing. It is a gift to us where we are able to receive the words of God, to be able to open it. This is our handbook. This is an amazing thing. This has the answers in it. You can open up this every day and spend time with God. Do you know that? The best way to serve God is to be closer to Him every single day. Well, no, I open it. I might open it when I come to church on Sundays. You know what? A lot of people do that. But what time do you have to give to God? What time? This church in Laodicea, let me tell you some history about it. All right? This church was, this church, I'm going to tell you about the town especially. But this church was in a town that was, I guess you could call it rich. At the time, we're about to read. It was a rich town, all right? They had lots of things. One thing they did not have was water. This town was situated in a place where it did not have water. Now, it did at one time when it was built, but then there was a river you know, that ran through it. But then, of course, it dried up. So this town's been out of water for a long time. Good thing, there's a town 6 miles up the road that has glorious, warm water. I mean hot water. They have hot springs. The thing is, it doesn't taste very well. It's got sulfur in it, like most hot springs do. So there's a city up the road called Hierapolis. Say Hierapolis.
Hierapolis.
Very good. All right? Say Laodicea.
Laodicea.
Music to my ears. All right. So we're in the town of Laodicea. Up the road, 6 miles, is Hierapolis. Now, Hierapolis has hot springs. Hot water. What is hot water good for? Making coffee, but not, I mean, you can't really make coffee with like sulfur water. What this hot water is good for is washing, okay? Because you got to have hot water to wash. I mean, you can take baths in it, you can wash your clothes, wash your dishes, you can use hot water for a lot of things, even hot chocolate. But still, the sulfur like had a bad smell, had a bad taste, so they never really used it for cooking or eating or anything. But how they got it there were these aqueducts. I mean, you know what aqueducts are. They're man-made like tubes or just, you know, concrete or stone, you know, ways of to get water from one place to the other. So they had aqueducts 6 miles from Hierapolis to Laodicea. Hot water leaves Hierapolis, goes down these aqueducts. By the time it gets to Laodicea, is it hot anymore?
No,
it's not. It's not. It's just lukewarm, stale sulfur water. Not good for much. But there's luck. There's another place to get water. There's another place. It's called Colossae. Everybody say Colossae.
Colossae.
Colossae had nice, cool, pure Aquafina water in bottles that they were just able to, no. But no, they did have cool, pure water, all right? And the same way the water traveled, this was 11 miles, and so 11 miles, aqueducts flowed, is that the right word? Yeah, water from the cool springs all the way down to Laodicea? And was it cold when it got there? No. Once again, it was lukewarm. It was lukewarm. Today we're going to read in Revelation 3. So if you will, turn with me there. Laodicea was a rich town, but you know what? They did not have water. None at all. So they had to have towns to help them out, to have aqueducts built so that water could get there. Let's read in Revelation 3, and we're going to talk through this, all right? I believe it's up there on the screen, is it not? Look! Awesome. We're going to read this together. Are you ready? Well, I mean, you don't read. I'll read. You read silently. Are we okay with that? Awesome. So y'all read silently. I'm going to read it aloud just so you can hear it. All right, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Okay, we're going to stop right there. I wish you were either one or the other. A lot of people have heard this verse. They've heard the church of Laodicea not being hot or cold, okay? A lot of people say, all right, if you were to be hot or cold for God, what would you rather be? You'd rather be hot for God, right? That's the way we think, all right? Do you want to be hot for God or do you want to be cold for God? We want to be hot for God, right? Well, that's not exactly what this passage is saying. You're like, why is he saying, you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other. It sounds like God's saying, I wish you were all for me or all against me, right? But no, no, no. I already told you what the water that traveled to Laodicea was. Is cold water good? What's cold water good for? Drinking? It was pure water. They could heat it. All right? They could use it for cooking. Cold water is just as good as hot water, isn't it? That's why when you go to the sink, you've got one that's cold and one that's hot. All right? It's not just one. It's not just lukewarm. It's cold or hot most of the time. Hot water takes a little while because most of us have hot water heaters. But anyway, you've got cold and hot because there's different, you know, things to do with cold and hot water. They're both useful. All right? So in this section, he's not saying, I wish you were hot, you know, hot for God. I wish you were everything for God. Or I wish you were nothing. That's not what he's saying. It means I wish you were either one or the other. I wish you were this way or that way, but still beneficial to God. What he's saying here is that so many churches have so many purposes. Did you know that? Think about that. There are so many churches in the world, and there were a lot of churches at this time. And every single church serves and benefits God in a different way. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but no two churches are the same. Every church benefits God and has a different purpose. 24 Church has a totally different purpose. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're not like most churches, okay? I didn't know if you noticed that. I was just breaking the news. I didn't mean to burst your bubble, but we're not like most churches, and we have a totally different purpose than a lot of other churches. And the same thing here. He's saying churches, the church, the body of believers, benefits God. You need to benefit God, Laodicea. You need to benefit him. It doesn't matter what your purpose is. All right, you need to benefit him. Either be a cold church serving God in this manner, to this people group, in this way, benefiting and making, you know, fruits, creating new believers, or you could be hot. You can be this way. You can serve a different people group. You can serve them this way. It doesn't matter. At least be one way. You have to benefit God in one way or the other. How are you serving? Are you using cold water to do it? Or are you using hot water to do it? It's basically how he explains it to them. He brings it home. Because, of course, they know. Everybody knows you're going to Laodicea, you're drinking lukewarm water. You just are. Everybody knew that. So the easiest way to explain that was like, you're lukewarm. Everybody knows, oh yeah, we are. We're, you know, lukewarm because, you know, hot water, Hierapolis, cold water from Colossae. They realize that. So what is your purpose? Is your purpose this way, using cold water? Is your purpose this way, using hot water? All right? So it's not good or bad. It's not like, are you cold, bad? Are you, you know, hot, good? He's saying, just be one or the other. Please, just serve him. Serve him. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The original word here is vomit. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Okay? How many of you like that word vomit? I don't. I mean, it's not really like a peaceful word. You know, what are you doing tonight? I think I'm going to vomit. Doesn't that sound like fun? No, it doesn't. Or puke. I'm going to upchuck right over here. No, a lot of times you don't say that unless you need to let people know to get out of your way. I'm going to vomit. Move. You had to run to the bathroom, whatever. You don't, it's not a peaceful word, so usually you spit. Either way, it's saying you're useless. It's lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you. I'm going to upchuck. I'm going to vomit you out. Useless. Gross. How many of you like cold coffee or a hot Coke? Now, some of you might, but most, I'm just giving you a normal analogy. I don't like hot Coke unless you really want to burp. That'll make you burp. You want a hot Coke. I don't like cold coffee. It's supposed to be hot. Churches are supposed to serve God. Churches have a purpose. We are called to serve Him. We are called to have a massive imagination for God. We are to be creative. Why? God puts a church. God plants a particular group of people in an area to serve those people. All right? To serve those people, to love them, to show them and teach them the words of the Scripture, to be able to have accountability with one another, all right? God puts us in specific places for a specific purpose. And that's why 24 is right here doing what it does best, relating to you. As 24 relates to me, and to you, and to you, and to you, in totally different ways. We have a purpose. Laodicea, do something. You're useless. You're not doing anything. Are we on the same line right now, folks? All right, Laodicea, you're not doing anything. Let's move on. Verse 17. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched. You are pitiful. Poor, blind, and naked. If I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. So, we've already explained what Laodicea is. Now the church of Laodicea is dead. To God is vomit in his mouth. Why? Laodicea is rich. All right? How many of you remember Katrina? Okay, not many of you. Katrina, I'm trying to make this, you know, relevant to you. How many of you remember Katrina? All right? Thank you. It was devastating to America. Now, when it happened, did the entire world go, their problem, not ours? No, it didn't. The entire country gained support. The entire country traveled. Delegates from every single state, churches from every single state in America went down south to help out the victims of Katrina, to rebuild buildings and help people out. Churches up in the north even turned their churches into places, into refuges, where these people that are forced out of their homes that have been destroyed to come up and stay, to find a new life, to find a new job. The entire country turned their head towards this destruction. And this time, earthquakes were a big deal, were a huge deal, especially in this area. And Laodicea had received many earthquakes. And when an earthquake came, of course, all these buildings, you can imagine, they're made out of stone. You know, they don't have, you know, the technology like we have. So when an earthquake came, buildings would fall down. Now, this town was under the Roman Empire. So when an earthquake hit, all they had to do was go, Rome, help! And Rome would send people and money to help rebuild the towns. Now in the year 60 AD, everybody say 60 AD. All right, 60 AD, that was a pretty long time ago, okay. There was a massive earthquake, bigger than they ever received. Huge earthquake. All right, Hierapolis called for Rome. Colossae called for Rome. All these towns called for Rome. You know who didn't call for Rome? Laodicea. They didn't call for Rome. You know what? They had become so rich,
They didn't need it. And everybody knew it. Everybody looked at Laodicea and went, golly. You know what they decided to do? Not to help anybody. To stay by themselves, and they rebuilt the town. Sure, the morale of the town was great. We can do this on our own. Is that necessarily a bad thing? No. Rome was able to, you know, give money to other places. The city was rich. It was powerful. My goodness, it was prideful. The businesses were thriving. Laodicea had so much. They had these magnificent, you know, white and black sheep that produced this wool that was so smooth. Laodicea was known for their extremely smooth clothing and their bright white clothing. All right, everybody knew Laodicea. Oh, they're rich. They got the smooth, fancy, you know, white clothes. My goodness, they are so rich. Also, they had lots of medicine. One thing they were known for was salve. S-A-L-V-E. Anybody know what salve is? Savvy? All right. Savvy is kind of like a medicated cream. All right. How many of you know what Carmex is? All right. You put it on your lips and stuff with cold sores. How many of you know what Gold Bond is? Used for all sorts of stuff. You know, some people don't like medicated things. You know, how many of you like spicy food? You know, some of you hate spicy food. You put it in your mouth and it burns. You're like, I don't know why I like spicy food. I just do. I don't know. It tingles. Same reason we like Cokes. Carbonation. I don't know. It's weird. But I like medicated things. You know, Carmex, you know, it has a little tingle. I don't know whether it numbs or not, but it feels good. Medicated things, you know, like Icy Hot. You know it's working. I like to use Listerine because you're like, you know it's working. It's killing those germs. It's got to be because it makes me feel like my tongue's falling out. All right? And salve is kind of like that. It's not that burning. You know, it's not like putting Carmex in your eyes. It's not going to burn that much. But it's medicated, and it was to help your eyes, all right? And they were able to package this and ship it out like Carmex, all right? It's called salve, all right? And they were known for it. Laodicea was rich. And you know what? They got prideful. And it carried on to the church. The church in Laodicea said, you know what? We don't need help. We don't need missionaries. We're fine exactly where we are. Well, you know what? We don't even need any more members. We're good where we are. Shut the doors. All right? We don't need any more people. They're dead. They decided just to stop. To stop serving. This is what this passage is about. Laodicea, you have a purpose, and you're not doing it. You're not serving God anymore. What does it take for a church to serve? It takes the people. If you look in your worship guide, a little blurb also says, a lot of people think that you can only serve in church. There were still godly people in the church, I'm sure, but you know what they had to do? They had to find places outside the church to serve because their church wasn't doing anything. I worked for a church once, and you know what? This is the honest truth. I'm gonna be blunt with you. I had to leave because it died. And you're like, oh, that was bad. You just left that church. No. They cut the phones off because they decided they didn't need any communication. The church stood up together and said, "We are going to cut off our witnessing programs." You think I'm saying that like they thought that in their minds? No, they actually said, you know what, we don't want to witness anymore. We are actually fine with the congregation being this size. We want to be this church. Like, that is far on the spectrum of what you think of a horrible church. And this was. And I was ostracized and made to leave. And you think that's a horrible story, but you know what happens all over the place. There may be churches around here that are actually dead. Like, no, it's a church. It's a good place. There's good people in there. They're singing songs and they're reading the Bible. Those are great things, but you know what? That's not the entire purpose of a church. That's not the purpose of you and I. We are to serve. And if the people together decide not to spread the gospel, not to spread what we know, not to testify about the amazing things that God has done, not to aid others, but to become prideful, become self-sustaining and sit and be vomit in God's mouth. That is a dead church, and they exist. But you know what? 24 Church is not one of those. And we don't have a lot of money, but we are rich because we have servants. That's what makes 24 what 24 is. I'm the assimilation pastor here, and you're like, what in the world is an assimilation pastor? Well, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. It's from, you know, making sure these stages are where they need to be, and it's helping making sure, you know, coffee is, you know, has sugar in it and things like that. But most of all, it's helping people get connected. It's making sure that volunteers are getting what they need. It's making sure that the service of the church is doing what it's supposed to do. And the purpose of 24 Church is in your face, and that we're doing it. And you know what? We are. We are. And the way we stop that is when the people stop serving. And you haven't. And I thank you for that. But you know what? The church is getting bigger. Every week, this church gets so much bigger. And we do need more servants. I'm not going to lie. We need more servants. But not every one of you is going to serve. You pray to God, how could I help 24? You know, some of you are like, well, I'm not going to just become a volunteer. I'm not going to become a minister. We're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to ask God what he wants you to do. You don't have to serve in 24 Church. You might be a member of another church. Please serve there and ask 24 what we can do for you. We have people that are inspired by 24 Church. We have churches that are sprouting because of 24 Church, because the love that you have. Laodicea, you're dead. You need to be hot or cold. You need to do something for God. Two things that I want you to take away from this. One is to stop becoming prideful. Knock yourself off of that pedestal. I don't have time for this. I don't have money for this. Knock yourself off your pedestal, all right? Just like Laodicea, sometimes we all think we're self-sustaining. I'm doing all right now, all right? I'm doing all right. My family's taken care of. I don't need any help. Just leave us alone. We're doing fine. You know, sometimes we get like that, even in our spiritual walk. God lets us have an amazing, you know, time in our life. And it's at those times where we find ourselves going, you know what, I don't even need God. You know what, I went this entire day without praying. And you know what, nothing bad happened to me. So maybe I'll try it another day. I'm not going to pray to God today. You know what, I think I can do it on my own. It's at those times when we fall flat on our face. Stop being prideful. When you say, I can do it on my own, is when God knocks you down and you realize you can't. So let me tell you right now, you can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. We need the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to get us through every day. Because it's by his grace we have what we do, that we are meeting today. And lastly, be a benefit to God. You can sit at home, you could pray to God, you can be your own church in your own head, but benefit God. Each one of you has a purpose. Each one of you can benefit God. What are you going to do? How are you going to benefit God? I'm not asking you to come to church every week and serve. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to pray to God. How can you benefit him? What's your purpose? How can you love him? How can you show the love of Christ? Be a benefit to God. Be cold. Be hot. But be one or the other. Be this purpose, be that purpose. You have abilities, you have powers, you have jobs. Fulfill God's love in those areas. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love. You've given us freedom. You've given us the ability to serve you. Lord, we walk around being called Christians, being representatives of you. God, we walk around and people look at us and they have to see God. Lord, let us be representatives of you. Let us be walking light. When people look at us, let them see you. Don't help us not to fall. Help us not to be prideful, but it is so easy to do so. In our everyday walk with you, help us read your word and help us pray for an opportunity to serve. Let us pray for an opportunity to benefit you. Be with us this week, God. Give us a person to talk to you, to tell them what you've done in our lives, to tell them the amazing things that you've given us. Help us testify. be with us, God. Let us worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.